Just been a joy to see that God is growing his people. And I want to welcome everybody, anyone who may be visiting today to the Granite Bay Hilltop Church, and our friends who are watching online or on AFTV. And I'll tell you right now that the message this morning is going to be a little bit different from the typical expository preaching. Our message this morning is going to be something more of a mission report for you who sent out missionaries a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I love the memory verse we heard when God says, who will go for us? Who shall we send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And the sermon title, as you saw in your bulletin, is Going and Sending. And we should all be involved in sharing the gospel. Some of us can go. Some of us can help the ones who go and send them. But everyone gets involved in some way in the Great Commission. And we have a lot to share with you today, so I'm going to dive right in. And I'm calling this, it's the Granite Bay Hilltop Amazing Facts International Dominican Republic Mission Report. And we went to, I think we're going to get some pictures on the screen here. Maybe I need to press a button for that to happen. Well, that's the second picture anyway. I wanted the map. Can we go back? Let me see. There it is. The Dominican Republic, of course, is the island of Hispaniola, which is on the eastern side of the island, one of the first places discovered by Columbus back in 1492. And it's connected on the other side to Haiti. Now, the Dominican Republic is a lot more prosperous than Haiti and a little safer. And we took a group of our members. Almost every year, Granite Bay goes on a mission trip. I think during COVID that was interrupted. But otherwise, we try to always go somewhere. It may be Prescott, Arizona, and it may be Guatemala, Panama, and now the Dominican Republic. And we were just so thrilled that 150, mostly members of our church, a few friends of Amazing Facts, took that long trip to the Caribbean island there and did a mission project. Actually, it's a spectrum of mission projects. There was dentistry and medical work and children's ministry and evangelism training. And they traveled with about, and we are so thankful. Carlos wishes he could be here today. He's in Africa with Cecily. But he's flexing because he had just lifted 22 containers. And all of the people were carrying these containers with supplies to a foreign country. And they almost didn't get into the country because having that many things go through customs quickly is a problem. We made a few phone calls to the pastor who called somebody they knew in the top echelons of government in the health department who called the custom agent and said, let that material through. And it had gotten held up, but a few prayers and phone calls and everything was then loaded up and on its way to the various locations. So as the people gathered, there was a fairly nice hotel where we were able to meet and a place where we could have meals, and then we'd fan out from there in the country to the different locations for ministry. But it was a wonderful opportunity for us to be together. Some there are suffering from jet lag. Some flights were delayed, you know, the traveling adventures, and or a plane is canceled and you have to detour to South Africa to get to the Dominican Republic. Not that bad, but. And then we got some orientation about the different programs and how we would meet, and it is a masterpiece of coordination to have all this material go to another country to coordinate the different groups, the different people be trained in their areas. And I want to thank Danny Poljak, who worked with Maranatha. We also want to thank Maranatha because we built a church while we were there, and he helped with that organization. And so we're going to start out talking about building, and maybe I'll have Brother James Corner is going to come up. He'll share a little bit. We were going to have Sam help, but Sam is in Hawaii. Doing suffering for Jesus in Hawaii right now. And so he suggested maybe James would come up. We were working, I was on the building committee, our group, and so James, here's a microphone for you. Tell us some of the things as we were building the walls, some of the things that maybe you learned from that experience.
Well, when we showed up, there was only the first layer of block you can see that was laid down. None of us are bricklayers by trade. We don't particularly build bricks or put brick buildings up here in the northern North America. So that was a little bit out of our normal things. Maybe we do some stuff with 2x4s and siding. But so this is kind of outside. And talking to a lot of the guys I worked with there, None of us are bricklayers. Most of us aren't even construction workers. There's our beloved Pastor Lang block. So we laid...
Let me jump in real quick. There's a little boy named Heath.
There is my son named Heath.
Well, I worked with him for a whole day. I thought his name was Pete because I can't hear. And I kept calling him Pete. Then he told me his name was Heath. And I said, Keith. So I called him Keith for a day. And then he said, no, Heath. And I got it right. But when I arrived, I got there a day late. Heath had been building for a day, and he's working beside me as my partner. He said, no, you're getting it upside down. No, you got to go along the line. That's not enough mud. And he was really teaching me how to do it. It was great.
So we learned a lot. Working with mud, we don't do, at least I don't do mud daily. So that was kind of fun to do. Laying block, that was something I don't do, so it was out of my comfort zone. I don't know how many other guys there, but we all pitched in together. Cooperation. It was hot. It was humid. So those aren't the best environment to work under. Brings up stress and levels, but everybody kept their cool. Yeah. No fights, no throwing stuff. So we had a good time. Got to know a lot of the other church members, got to know a lot of people from outside that are partners with Amazing Facts. Mm-hmm. So I always enjoy, there's a couple from Omaha, Nebraska that I always enjoy meeting with and talking with them. So had a good time. We started to work up on scaffolding, which I never do. So that was kind of, you're up higher. So if you fall, you could really get hurt. So Danny instilled in us to really take our time and be careful when we're up there working and moving the block around. The mud is actually soft, so the blocks kind of fall in more than I was thinking they would. So that was challenging because we're all trying to get right to this line right here. We're trying to get all the blocks lined up. Level and level the other direction. So definitely out.
There's an art to it, isn't there?
There's definitely an art to it. I don't know how those guys throw it up so quickly. We had Maranatha, luckily, was there, had a good team helping us get these things done and keeping us from doing it wrong.
Yeah. So the wall is actually built very well. And this building is made for, it's the neighborhood shelter now in the event of a hurricane. It's built very substantially, a lot of steel. I found out they were welding the wall halfway up, and I said, I can weld. I'm not really good with blocks. And so I got to weld a little bit, and I miss how much fun it is to have hot sparks fall down your socks and burn your feet. But so the building is very secure for hurricanes. There's an aerial view, and you can see the neighborhood. Everybody came around and saw what was going on. They saw all of us working together, and a lot of camaraderie and love.
A lot of love. So we've planted a church for God in the Dominican Republic.
Amen. We did the work. Thank you so much, James. Did the work of Nehemiah. He said, go build the walls, and that's what we did. So when we left, the walls were 90% built. They were above the windows, and there you have a picture. Started from nothing. This is one of the bigger churches that Maranatha does, so it's significant. There'll be a baptistry, restrooms, and the wall is really built secure. Even though we started out with minimal experience, they came around and gave us tips. If every now and then a block said, they said, we're going to have to reset that one. They pull it out and put it back in again. And we learned very quickly. So it ended up being a very professional job. And we had a crew that was painting at another location, an older church that was getting a little dilapidated. They scraped it and they refreshed it and completely painted it and made it beautiful. All right, dentistry. Roger Shane, come on up. There's a scripture for this one. Psalm 81, verse 10. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. No, actually, I don't know how many fillings we did. I think they did more pulling than filling.
Yeah, that's right, Pastor Doug. Really, there in the Dominican Republic, no one has dental insurance. And so dental was by far and away the most popular service that we provided there at the clinic. There was just lines and lines. As you can see there in our clinic site, we use these large canvas tents. But the whole team was very happy because each of those tents had air conditioning, unlike the construction team. So as you can see, our team from the dental team was in there all day. It was just full, overflowing in that tent. And we really had everyone working in there. It was all hands on deck. with both trained dental professionals and volunteers who raised their hand and said they would be willing to stick their hand in somebody's mouth. So
we even saw some kids were helping with the dental work.
Yes, and some of our young people who were in there were actually requested to come back because they were on our previous trips and they were so good at it. Here we are training our young people.
Yeah.
So it was really just a wonderful experience there.
Oh, sorry. That was it.
All right.
Go ahead. Tell more, though.
Yeah, and on the medical side, I would say that, you know, we, over the 4 days of the clinic, we were blessed to be able to see over 1,000 patients. Amen. So it really was a blessing to be able to serve there. With that, do we have more pictures on the medical?
That's all of the dental. Then we'll go to medical. I've got someone else coming up to help with that. But so we did a lot of extractions and...
Yes, we did a lot of extractions, and what everyone wants there is cleanings.
Hygiene.
So our dental hygienists were very busy the whole time that they were there. We only had two of them, but they kept them busy the whole time. So.
Amen. Thank you, Roger. And it's the other dentists that were here that helped that day. We sure appreciate that. Can you say amen? And, you know, it's an epic task because you go to this country, even in the hotel, the power would go off. So they needed generators and fuel to get the compressors and all the dental equipment and medical equipment working every day. And so I tell you, I'm just so proud of our church and the epic organization that took place. Then there was also medical work. And I think Dr. Christensen's here somewhere, and he can come up and tell us a little about that. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8, Jesus, it said, "And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick." Part of Christ's ministry is healing. And so we did some medical. People would be triaged by a team as they came in, and they'd kind of find out what the need was. We had translators because some of our members don't speak Spanish.
So what a blessing to be there with them all. The one thing they're leaving out was the bus trip in the morning over to the clinic. And I'm telling you, if you know someone who drives in the Dominican, you know someone who's absolutely fearless. Because traffic lights are merely ornaments. They don't have anything to do with traffic. But anyway, we would get there by God's blessing, and then we'd get out of the bus, and there'd be about 100 people waiting there. And it was so organized by the people. They had people that would check them in that could speak the language for them. They'd bring them into the tents, as you saw earlier. And this was one little girl I had met. She was 2 years old. And she had an extra digit on her hand here. And so mom didn't like that. So we brought her back into the tent and just using kind of a headlamp and some lidocaine and a couple little instruments, we were able to fix her. But then the next day, her cousin comes in and she has an extra digit. So they kind of had heard. So we had a little bit of run on polydactyly cases. And you can see here, she had an extra. It was articulating in, had bone going into this finger, actually.
Now, these are non-functioning fingers.
But then, yeah. Right. So Dave Jennings was my assistant. And I'd have to beg Melissa to let him go from pharmacy because they were so busy. So he'd come over there, and Dave would hold their arm like a vice grip. And the moms over there are a little different. They don't care if their kids have any pain. They would be like, "No, he's doing it." I could tell. I don't speak Spanish, but I knew what was being said. And so we'd numb them up, and then we'd work on them. Because all we had was like clamps for retractors, but we actually got it done by God's grace. And then this is Frida, who was there as well. She would help with praying afterwards with my patients with me. And we'd hand them a Desire of Ages, which I stole from Amazing Facts, which I'm confessing now. We took as many books as we could from down below there, and we'd hand them to the moms and pray with them afterwards. So what a blessing it was. What a great group to work with over there. And, you know, the real blessing, too, was not just the procedures we got to do, but really a chance to introduce them to Jesus, mm-hmm. a friend they can walk with the rest of their lives. And, you know, just to be a part of Amazing Facts, because then at the end, you know, Doug and John Ross and were preaching to like 10,000 people.
You're getting ahead of me.
I'll stop. I'll stop right now. But anyway, it was a blessing. I wish all of you get the chance to go.
Thanks so much, Todd. We're so proud of him. And, you know, when he gave the report at our evening worship about what he did for that little girl's hands, and, you know, she was disfigured, maybe teased by her friends and fixing that, I said, this whole trip is worthwhile just for that, for that one girl. But there were hundreds of stories like this. That's some of our team that were helping to triage, for lack of a better word, the people that were coming. And as word got out, more and more people started coming. Santo Domingo is a very big city. They'd pray with the different people that came and develop great relationships. We all learned a little bit of Spanish. Maybe I'll have Pastor Cruz come up. And we got a couple of things that deal with kids. You know, the Bible says in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit orphans and widows. And so there was a trip to an orphanage while we were there.
That's right. We listened to James and went and visited some orphans. It was a really well-run orphanage run by some Adventist people. And there was about 12 orphans that were there and maybe about 40 of us that wanted to go and visit. And in the bus, we could only get so far before the roads got really bumpy and rugged. And so they loaded us up into these various vehicles, some of them.
Now, if this was America, they'd all have helmets and seat belts, but this is what the mission field looks like. OSHA does not approve of this kind of travel. Anyway.
That's right. And you'd actually see something like that in the city as well. So we get to the orphanage, and as you could imagine, the kids at first were kind of more sheepish and shy with, you know, all of these strangers walking in their rooms and such. But they really did warm up. We started playing with them. We played some soccer in the back and just all kinds of things. Yeah, we have a picture here. The orphans, they actually shared a song with us. They had learned a Christian song, and they sang it to us. And then they had these different pictures that they handed to us. And they were really warming up throughout. And you could tell it was a good experience for everyone all around. And what we also, many of you, donated various things. I think mm-hmm. the next picture shows we came with gifts for them, different backpacks and toys that they got to have. And they really liked that part, of course. We shared a meal with them, but what was the biggest blessing for me was actually learning from the leader of the orphanage there, and she's just sharing about some of the stories and what they're doing there, and it just really encourages you to want to give and support and pray for these kids, and this is really some of the best evangelistic work you can do, is taking care of these kids, growing them up, teaching them about Jesus.
Amen. Now, don't go away, because in a minute we'll have more kids. Another, and I'm sharing these slides some the way I received them. So another thing that was wonderful is the relationships that built both with the people and in our group. There are members of the church, you sit together every week, and they said, you know, we go to the same church, we sit on opposite sides. How many of you sit on roughly the same side every week? Yeah, there you go. We don't know each other, and it gave us a chance to fellowship. And it's amazing that we paid money to be hot, miserable, and have a wonderful time. That's the thing about mission work, is we got together in the evening, we'd have worship together, and sometimes in the mornings we'd meet at our different sites and eat together. They had good veggie food, they arranged at the hotel. So that was some of the greatest time, is then rehearsing at mealtime what happened during the day. The lunches they would bring to the location so we could keep working all day long.
And I would add the lunch food was super authentic. They had a Dominican lady who, I think she was one of the cooks for the conference office. Uh-huh. And we had her supply all of our lunches. And everyone, I think, can vouch. It was really good, authentic, vegetarian Dominican food.
Yep. And sing together when we had worship. It was wonderful. I had another couple pictures. You see, this is a nice picture of all the people working on the church. When James was talking about the scaffolding, those first few courses were pretty safe, but then we were carrying bricks and cement up, and it got higher and higher and higher, and we were praying more and more and more, doing the work of Nehemiah. Anyway, yeah, just meeting the people and the kids, they were so appreciative of the work that was done. All right, children.
Yeah, we, as part of the thing, we had a VBS crew. So one of the options that people could do is be part of the VBS. And some of the youth, of course, helped out with the dental and medical work. So this is one of the advertising signs that was at the medical and dental clinic. But here, the VBS that was
run by the local Adventist leaders that we just helped out with, was actually hosted at a public school. And so this is a cafeteria room for a local public school that we were invited to come into and share the gospel with them. And so we split up into three different activity groups. There was games. You can see the next slide out there. That's me playing a game with them, mingle. And I said, cuatro. And then they would all get into groups of four and tres. And it was really great. Then another activity was arts and crafts. And another one was storytelling. Different Bible stories. And so our group was a smaller group compared to construction or medical, mm-hmm. but it was a great group. Now, they didn't have VBS every day, and so for one morning, we did have a little bonus opportunity to go to the Blue Lagoon. So this is our VBS crew that got a little bonus field trip to the Blue Lagoon, a very beautiful, wonderful place. So here is the next slide, a group shot, a final selfie that we took. They also gave us these really cool T-shirts. Many of us that were helping out, and they said on it, Hechos Impossibles. Next slide, you'll see it there. Yeah, Hechos Impossibles, tú eres parte del milagro. And that means something...
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible. Oh, man, when I had my wife, she would interpret everything for me.
Milagro.
Yes, impossible works... Oh, this is embarrassing. I'm sorry. Anyway, yes. So they had props up front, and we would sing songs with them, and it was just an overall really, really big blessing to minister. Amen.
Thanks so much, Pastor Aaron. So, yeah, we were trying to do the whole gamut while we were there, all this spectrum, and I didn't even mention that not only was there the dental and the medical, they had women's health, they had pharmacy, they had counseling. So there was all this whole spectrum of medical services that were taking place, as well as the children's program. Pastor Ross, are you backstage or are you up front? Here he is. Oh, you got your own microphone. Okay. So when we go, the Bible says train. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So part of these trips is they brought together the pastors from the country.
Yes, we had a great group of pastors. Actually, it was all of the pastors in the Dominican Republic from union level down. So we had union leaders, we had conference leaders, several conferences there. You can see all of them dressed in suit and tie, looking very professional. But these are the pastors and conference leaders. We spent a whole morning doing evangelism training. It's nice to share evangelism training with people that are very passionate about evangelism. Dominican is very much committed to evangelism. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of evangelistic outreach, a lot of small groups, regular evangelistic meetings. So it was a real encouragement to be able to share with them. So that was on our first training, was with the pastors, conference leaders. And then the next day...
I don't have a picture of the next day, but would you
tell
them? Oh,
is this what we got? Okay. So the next day, we had another training event, but this one was more for pastors of specific churches closer to the area that we were working, and their lay leaders. So the outreach coordinators from the different churches, we spent a whole morning doing training with them. That was fun. They're very mm-hmm. enthusiastic. Yeah. And boy, when they get going with the amens and hallelujahs, that really fires up the teacher or the preacher. Yeah. And so we preached, and it was great. We had Pastor Carlos, Pastor Doug, myself. We did training talking about the evangelism cycle, and just Pastor Doug was answering questions from the pastors about different stories in the Old Testament and how the gospel is revealed in these different stories. So mm-hmm. it was just a wonderful experience,
Amen.
Wonderful time. Great training that took place right there with the pastors. They really appreciated
Amen.
That.
No, don't go anywhere yet. So then something else that we did not organize, but we participated in, there is a ministry called Share the Love, I think. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And they gave away 40 really nice wheelchairs to people that have these either no wheelchair or broken down wheelchairs, or even a couple of kids that had cerebral palsy, the twins. And they gave them new wheelchairs, and the folks were so happy, and they came down from Orlando, and we combined the events, and we were able to give them to these people, and that was just a wonderful experience to see these folks that really were immobile get brand new wheelchairs with the pumps and the gears and everything that they needed to, all the tools to take care of them, and get the kids involved and seeing how it changes their lives. So that was an exciting event. You can see this lady is having a hard time hiding her enthusiasm. Now, Pastor Ross also when we go on trips like this, we combine the mission work with evangelism. Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," preaching to every creature. And so for the final weekend we were there, we had the opportunity to not only preach, we did a radio program.
That's right, Pastor Doug.
Keep in mind, this is radio, so we just come from the building site. They don't know that we're dressed like this. So normally we would not go.
So there is a radio station, a Christian radio station, Adventist station there in Dominican. It is the most listened to Christian station on the island.
Reaches up to Puerto Rico, too. The
broadcast. Yes, and a number of other countries there in the Caribbean, Spanish-speaking, they like to listen to this radio station. And so their busiest time of day is in the morning commute. So they asked if Pastor Doug could come. I answered some Bible questions. We also had an opportunity to share a little bit more about what we were doing there that weekend. This was actually setting up for the big weekend rally that was going to take place there at the park. There was a citywide park where the rally took place. We might even have pictures about that.
Yeah, we do. Before we get to it, we need to set the stage a little bit. Mm-hmm. While we were there doing all of this work, you may have heard on the news, the Dominican Republic had their biggest natural or human disaster, catastrophe. There was a club at about 12:40 at night that had about 500 people in it, and a concrete roof suddenly collapsed. It just came down. Unlike our roofs that are wood in an earthquake, it's very fatal. And there were 232 people that died. Did you hear about this in the news? So we're there. It's in the same city where we are when this happens. The whole city was in mourning because everybody knew somebody. Two Major League Baseball stars were there, and national singers and politicians, and it was just a terrible catastrophe. We had rented this big facility for weekend evangelism, and the president said, you know, we're going to stop all public meetings during this time of mourning. And we thought, oh, no. And the pastors spoke with him, and they said, this is going to be a gathering of prayer for the country. You don't want to stop that, do you? Oh, no, we don't want to stop that. And so our meetings almost got canceled because of this, but instead, more people came. Mm-hmm. And so we had this, like 10,000 people. Here's the auditorium, but see all the trees around the auditorium? They're full of people. So it was a fantastic opportunity. Pastor Ross and Carlos did Sabbath school, and were preaching. Want to say anything?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it was hot. I mean, you can't see it, fortunately, but the sweat was dripping off my nose. Even Carlos was sweating, and he's from that part of the world. And Pastor Doug was sweating. He doesn't usually sweat when he preaches, but it was hot. They had big fans blowing on the audience there, and it was wonderful. Again, very responsive group of people. Although I must say, if you are going to go to one of these big gatherings, just be prepared for a lot of noise. It was loud. Everything was loud. So some of our team, they were texting each other saying, you know, what can I do to put earplugs in my ears to block the noise? It was loud. But a lot of enthusiasm, excitement. And so, yes, we preached Sabbath morning. This is Sabbath morning. They had all of the churches come together for this big rally that took place in this
Amen.
Park.
Yeah, and so in the Caribbean, when they first discovered PA systems, they thought the idea was turn it up loud enough so the neighbors can hear. And that's true. And you'll find this in Africa too. If they've got a PA system in a church, they want everyone sitting around the church in the neighborhood to hear. And so it was extremely loud on the stage. But the people there seem used to it.
It was probably a good idea because there's a lot more people sitting out under the trees. And of course, they could hear it loud even out there. So just
I think I've got a picture of, where is it here? Yeah, so it was... The place was full there. Yeah, all through the trees, they're sitting all around. And so they told us there were about 10,000 people came to the day of prayer, and a lot of them were not members. They had heard the radio broadcast. They heard the announcement. And so it gave us a great opportunity to preach the gospel and to appeal. And they stayed all day long for the program.
In addition to the morning, and I think these are still pictures of the morning, we also had an afternoon program that took place for a different group of people in a different part of the city, and we had almost about, I don't know, 6,000.
Well, I think I've got a picture of that coming up. Mrs. Batchelor, during the slide program, she ran the slides just because of the technology, so that's why she's back at the sound booth. She ran my sermon. We had the baptisms.
We did.
And they know how to baptize people in about 18 inches of water. So when Pastor Cruz was baptizing, one member of our group wanted rebaptism. He looked at the water and he's going, how are we going to do this? I think, actually, we got a picture of it here. They had several baptisms from meetings they had done prior to our coming. There he is, yeah. And I think he had to get on his knees to baptize her. But then we had the outdoor meeting in an amphitheater nearby. They'd been at the same arena all day long. And this is the mayor, if I'm not mistaken, of the town. He came to, just there you have a...
This is the afternoon meeting. It was beautiful. So the temperature had cooled down. Some cloud cover had come in, blocked the sun. There was a gentle breeze blowing. It was the highlight. Just beautiful setting. We got to teach and preach and share, a great crowd of people. And that was really the highlight for us as this big gathering, final program on Sabbath afternoon.
Yeah. Now, we want you to know we brought material, we preached the gospel, we built churches, we did medical work. Everybody in Santo Domingo knows that our group was there. Well, I think so. And so it was just a wonderful event to be reaching the people there, made appeals for Christ, and a lot of decisions were made. And so we're just so thrilled that this all happened. Moving right along. And it was nice. The sun went down. It kind of cooled off. And we just had a great time of fellowship with everybody. Did some interviews. All right, where are you in the picture?
Yeah, here is the team. You can look for your picture, see if you are smiling in the group. Just a great group, about 160 all said and done. We kind of capped at 150, but we let a few more in and with the other team involved from Amazing Facts. So just a really great group. We had people that came all the way from Canada. This lady came from Canada, was part of the program. And another group, I think, from one of the Central American countries that was there as part of the program. Across the U.S., people came. A lot of our Granite Bay Church online members were there as well. And we want to greet our online members. You were there, yeah. Got to see you, meet you face-to-face. So that was just a wonderful experience. I think everyone was really blessed by this mission trip.
Ages like 8 to 86 were there. And everybody got involved and everybody helped. And it just goes to show you that everybody can be involved in the gospel. So, Pastor, stay with me. I'm looking at the clock. I think we've got time to tell you that we did take a day off. Just like it's when you go do a mission trip and you're in a country, you need to take some time to look around. Some of our folks scheduled time to stay afterward. And when they took us to an island and we were able to get in the water and do some snorkeling. That was great. But then as people scattered and went home, and praise the Lord, I think everyone made it. There and back, no injuries or serious problems. Mm-hmm. Pastor Ross and Ruth and Karen and I went to Brazil for an evangelistic program there. So we'll tell you a little bit about that. It was on a campground called Tree of Life. It's a Christian compound. We did a week of meetings. We were two of probably half a dozen speakers that were there. Pastor Stephen Bohr, Sebastian Braxton, and others were there. And just had a wonderful time at this Christian camp. Now, while we're there, after the meetings ended, had a great final meeting. We woke up Monday morning, and the news said that the Pope had died. Now, we are in the country on the planet that has the highest number of Catholics. Did you know Brazil has more Catholics than the Philippines or Mexico? And the whole country is sort of in mourning. We broadcast every week now in Brazil. The station, it's the fifth largest station in the country. Now, Brazil is as big as the lower United States. It's a huge country. The fifth largest station, it's called Red Brazil TV. They knew we were in the country. I don't know all the details of how it worked out. They said, why don't you come for our primetime evening news? And maybe you can say a word about your meetings and what you do and a word of comfort to our people that are mourning the death of the Pope. Now, what do you do if you're an Adventist pastor? I said, you bet. We'll be there.
Maybe so, just a little background on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So this new TV channel, it's free to air, so just about everybody gets it. It's on cable in the cities. And there is somebody that works for this television station that knows about Adventists. I think the person fairly high up has a family member that is an Adventist. And so when he heard that Pastor Doug was coming, he was able to talk to the powers that be and got the prime time spot for Amazing Facts for Pastor Doug to talk. And we'll share a little bit more about the actual interview itself and some of the questions that we asked. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was. And yeah, I need to be honest with you. We'd had a very busy week. You know, we'd been to the Dominican Republic with our church. We'd been preaching at the camp meeting in some more difficult accommodations than usual. I mean, you didn't know whether the water would be hot or cold or come on and where we were staying. But, you know, that's mission work. So I wanted to go home. They take us to Sao Paulo, where the airport is. We're going to fly out the next day. And they say, you know, they're having a one-hour news program. You will have a five-minute segment. And I've got to drive an hour to get there and another hour back after driving 2 hours to get to Sao Paulo. And I'm going, I don't know if I want to do this. And I just felt they were so excited. I said, okay, we'll do it. I just confessing that I almost didn't do it. I am so glad I did it. Because so we get there. This is it's a one-hour news report. His name is Hermano Hinning is the news anchor. You see on your screen here, they're showing some of the interview. This is seen across the country. The first half an hour was talking about the death of the Pope, and they had a whole report about the death of the Pope. Then they go to a commercial, and they bring us up on the stage, us being myself and Hander Heim, who is the Amazing Facts Brazil leader, and he's also a translator. He speaks perfect English. And so he's asking questions, and he's asking, listen to this now, friends. Right after the report in the largest Catholic country in the world about the death of the Pope and what's going on, they invite a Seventh-day Adventist minister on, and they ask me to share my testimony. They say, what is Amazing Facts? Why did you choose to become a Seventh-day Adventist? And so I'm telling them, well, you know, I studied the Bible, and this is why I became an Adventist.
You know, I was watching this. I wasn't there. I was watching it live back at the hotel. I found it very interesting. So, you know, the host, of course, he speaks Portuguese, and he introduces Pastor Doug, and so there's a translator, and he starts talking about Doug's experience and Doug's story. And you could tell how the host got so enthralled with what Doug was saying. When it came time to ask a question, he started speaking in English, and our translator translated to Portuguese. They were just really into this. And boy, just the breadth of questions. I mean, it's supposed to be 5 minutes. I think it ended up to be 25, 30.
It went through the rest of the program, the next 24 minutes he gave us. And then he's asking about Revelation. And then he said, well, what can you say to our friends that are grieving the loss of the Pope? And I said, you know, we can praise God that he had a full life. And I said, you know, it says in Italy the average age is 81. He made it to 88. He made it through his last Easter and was even able to visit with the vice president of the U.S. as one of his last official visits. And so, yeah, I know what to say, but it worked out.
He even asked, he said, does the Pope, the death of the Pope, have something to do with Bible prophecy and Revelation?
And you know what I said? I said, you know, matter of fact, many people believe that Pope Francis fulfilled Bible prophecy. I said, Bible prophecy talks about a healing of a wound. And he spent a lot of time trying to heal the wound between Protestants and Catholics. Now, you and I know what that means. But he thought, oh, that's good. And I don't know if you noticed, we didn't ask him to. He's putting up the website of Amazing Facts Brazil while we're doing this. Now, this is the part that is surreal. So I'm speaking, and the translator is telling me what he's saying. He's whispering in my ear. And at some point when the host begins speaking English, and then he realized what he was doing, he went back to Portuguese because we got a translator, I understood what he was saying in Portuguese. And then he asks our translator about Amazing Facts Brazil, and they don't need me now. They can talk to each other, and everyone understands. I understood everything they were saying. And it wasn't the gift of tongues. It was a gift of hearing. And I'm sitting there. I mean, it's not something I thought of later. While it's happening, I'm thinking, Lord, this is like the gift of tongues. I know exactly what they're saying. And I thought, they're speaking Portuguese. And after the program, I listened to my translator to see, do I understand? I didn't understand anymore. No more than I did before. But I've never had that happen before. It was just so unusual. And I just felt the Spirit of God coming over. Now, as they say, but wait, there's more. So he was so interested in what we were saying that there's a conversation that happened afterward between our translator and the host and the crew there. And he said, I was going to tell you about the book of Daniel, and we've got this little statue of Daniel. And he said, why don't you come back for our report in the morning? So we flew out the next morning. I think it was the next morning that here he is. Yeah. Now, we can only show you this part because she was dancing just before he came out for the interview.
This is their morning host. So, again, this is a good time.
Good morning,
sort
Brazil.
Sort of prime time. That's right. And they have a variety of programs of different things. So they invited Hunter back, and they asked about amazing facts. Of course, they've got the program. We air there on Sunday morning. So great promotion. But then she wanted to know about Daniel chapter 2. So he starts explaining Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the image, Daniel chapter 2, throughout Brazil. It was amazing.
Yeah. So the Lord was just working so many miracles and opening doors. And here, like I said, I almost didn't go. You know, Jesus tells us, go. And when you have an opportunity to go, and the Holy Spirit spoke to Ananias and said, I want you to go talk to Saul. And Ananias said, I don't want to talk to Saul. He's been persecuting your people. And the Lord said, Ananias, don't be afraid. Go lay hands on Saul, pray for him, and baptize him. Ananias goes. God sends him. He goes. And as a result of that, you never hear of Ananias again, but he laid hands on Paul. He becomes one of the greatest preachers in the New Testament. He almost didn't go. And so when God's opening a door and giving you an opportunity to go, friends, you want to go. God said to Abraham, you know, the Bible says Abraham was saved by faith because God says he was willing to go out not knowing where he was going. He couldn't search the internet and find out about Canaan. He went by faith. And just in conclusion, I'll tell you, look at some of the blessings that happen. In Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went not knowing where he was going, by faith. Then God speaks to Abraham in Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Notice the promises. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And all the families of the earth in you will be blessed. Look at all the blessings that came to him because he went when he was sent. And God wants to do the same thing for each one of us. So I think we're planning another trip.
We are, Pastor Doug. And we haven't nailed down for sure where we're going to be going. But one of the countries at the top of the list at this point is Peru. So there is some construction. Maranatha's building churches there. They'd like us to come and maybe work with them. So you'll hear more a little later on. There's a couple other countries we're also looking at, but Peru is one of the countries on the list. You know, Pastor, I just want to mention one last thing that I learned from this experience is, you know, the gospel needs to go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And as we see things happening in the world, we know the end is near. But at the same time, we see God opening up incredible opportunities to preach the gospel. Now, this meeting that we did, of course, we had a translator translating to Portuguese. But last night, Friday evening, Pastor Doug and I had a program where we spoke about, maybe some of you saw it, about the death of the Pope, how this relates to Bible prophecy. And using AI, that was translated live into, I think, six languages, if I'm not mistaken. And people were able to hear it in Portuguese, in Spanish, in Russian, and several other languages almost instantaneously. Mm-hmm. And so the work that's happening here and the proclamation of the gospel, it's amazing. It's been translated into multiple languages. Yes, indeed, the gospel can go to all the world, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Amen. So it's exciting to be a part of this great worldwide mission to take the gospel to the world.
Amen. And so we want to thank you. We're so proud of the Granite Bay Hilltop Church. We want to thank Maranatha. They did a wonderful job. All the materials were there, and we could look back after a week and see the walls were built, as it said in Nehemiah, and so much was accomplished. So we just praise God. We thought it'd be appropriate to take the service today and just share a little bit as a church family what's going on, and I want to make a difference in the world, don't you? And especially the time in which we're living. As we speak, they've just concluded the funeral for the Pope. They'll be picking a new Pope. We know what prophecy says about the U.S. and the Revelation chapter 13, and things are going to happen very quickly. And we want to make sure that we're not running and hiding. Now's the time to let our light shine on a hill. Amen? So we're going to invite our singers to come out, and we're going to sing our closing hymn, I Will Go Where You Want Me to Go, O Lord. And you can stand as we sing together. And then we will have our prayer. They always turn off my microphone when we're singing. Amen. That song is a prayer, isn't it? How many of you want to say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll help send people too? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for the many ways, the miraculous ways you blessed this recent mission trip, both to the Dominican Republic and to Brazil. You took so many people so far, doing so many different things, and brought them safely home. Lord, I pray that we will be willing to go wherever you send us, especially in the very important times in which we're living. Help us to live the life and share the good news of eternal life with others. Bless us with those blessings of Abraham, and be with us through this Sabbath day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.